Preach to two or three, and it's real pointed preaching. They kind of get the idea that it's for them, you know. At least when you got several, you can kind of spread it around and say, that was for so-and-so, you know. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't know if I could preach to a big crowd. Well, it's easier. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. God bless you tonight. Would you stand with me and let's read a verse tonight from the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter. This verse is a verse that is familiar to many of us. It's a wonderful verse of Scripture spoken by Jesus. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Everybody say, I will build my church. That makes it real plain tonight. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I, Jesus speaking, will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. New York City, there is a church that is world renowned. It is called St. John the Divine, or in some cases, St. John the Unfinished. They started working on St. John's in 1888 with the plans. They started building 1892, and it's still not finished. They're still working on it. Amen. St. Peter's Basilica, Rome, Italy, is the largest Christian church in the world as far as capacity. It holds 60,000 people. They built that over a period of more than 1,000 years. And in Westminster Abbey, the most famous church in London, England, is a church that was built over a period of 800 years. It is the burial place of kings and royalty and poets and statesmen and military figures. Mosque of Omar, famous Mosque of Islam, Jerusalem, Israel. They began building in the 600s. It was finished in 1187. Almost 600 years in building. Amen. And it's a beautiful building tonight. But I want you to know tonight that Jesus is building a church. It's a church that is built without hands, and it's the largest church that has ever been built. Amen. It's a church that is in every part of the world. There's not anywhere on the planet Earth that this church is not represented. Hallelujah. It's in cities and hamlets and villages all across the world. It's in states and departments and provinces or whatever you want to call them all around the world. It's the church that Jesus, and he's still building it, folks. He started building this church on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. And he's still building it today. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you tonight about the church that Jesus built. Amen. It is a church like all buildings. Anything that's built begins in the mind of the architect. Amen. This church is not man's idea. This is not my church. And this is not your church. This is his church. Amen. I did not come up with this idea. Brother Hart did not come up with this idea. No human being came up with this idea. But the idea of a church was born in the heart of God. Amen. It was his plan way back in the beginning. Hallelujah. And Paul said, it's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a church that God came up with. Just to give you an idea of some of his work, the psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Who of us tonight has not looked up at a beautiful sky and stood in awe and said, my, what a beautiful sky that is. And we stood perhaps at a sunset and watched a sunset as it sank into the cradle of the west, and its colors fill the sky with hues that the eye could hardly contain. And we thought, my, what a beautiful creation that is. What a beautiful sunset that is. Have we not walked in the night and saw star-studded heavens and the sky studded like diamonds on a black background and a beautiful moon hanging in a distance? And we thought, my, what a beautiful sight that is. I'm telling you, the same God that made the heavens is building a church tonight. Hallelujah, the same God that hung the sun and the stars and the moon is building a church tonight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The beautiful earth. I marvel at this great creation. I've had the privilege of traveling almost all the continental United States. And I have literally come over places in the road where I'd pull off to the side, and I would just stare in amazement at the beauty before me. The mountains of the West, as they raise their fingers and point toward their Creator, they're so awesome and so beautiful, so rugged and so majestic, and seemingly so permanent, but it's God's creation. Amen. Driving around East Texas here and just ride over some of these hills and look down in a valley, and all you can see is lush green and trees and grass and ponds and rivers, and my, what a beautiful sight. All these things that God has made, fields of flowers that almost take your breath away. And to know that God made all of those things with just a word. He said, let it be. And it was. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about somebody that's a great builder tonight. And let me tell you something. He created all of this in 7 days. Well, really 6 days. He rested on the seventh. Amen. He just said, let there be, and there was. Hallelujah. And you know what? It's remained the same for more than 6,000 years that we know of. Hallelujah. The sun is still rising every morning and setting every evening. The oceans and the tides still come in just to a certain place and roll back and go back the way he told them to come. Amen. Everything's still in its place just like he said it was going to be. Amen. Isn't that a marvelous creation? Our God made all of this. And I'm telling you tonight, he's building a church. Hallelujah. He's building a church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Amen. If I were going to seek a builder tonight, I would want to check out his reputation. You know, there's some men that do some shoddy work. There's people that use inferior materials. There are people that take your money and run and don't finish what they said they were going to do. Amen. But I want to get a few testimonies here tonight and just find out about the character of this builder we're talking about. Can anybody declare tonight that he's a good builder? Did he take your life and make something better out of it? He took us when we were full of our sin and full of our sorrow and full of our trouble. Amen. And he washed us clean with the blood of Jesus Christ. And he filled us with the awesome power. power of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and implanted his name upon our life and said, you're mine. I'm telling you tonight, I'm saying to you that he's a great builder, and as far as I'm concerned, he's the greatest that's ever been or ever will be. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody witness tonight that he still heals bodies? Anybody been healed in this building tonight? Anybody willing to raise your hand and say, he healed me? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I was sick. Oh, I was sick. Matter of fact, I was so sick I was saying, Lord, either you're going to have to heal me or kill me. It doesn't really matter right now. I just got to have some relief. And I'm glad he didn't do the secondary. He did the primary. Amen. But I mean, I was sick. I was hurting. It was a Sunday. Amen. And the men of the church came over after the service and gathered around my bed and began to pray for me. Amen. And all of a sudden, that sickness began to leave my body. Amen. I went to the doctor the next day. I was feeling so much better. But I wanted to know what in the world was going on. They said, well, it looks to me like you had shingles and dengue fever at the same time. I don't know if you know about dengue fever. It's called bone break fever, and that's why they call it that, because it feels like your bones are breaking. It's bad stuff. It's miserable. I mean, you hurt all over. You hurt from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. Amen. I said, yeah, but I'm feeling a whole lot better now. Hallelujah. God began to take it all away. Amen. And within the day's time, it was all gone. If you've ever had shingles, that's a miserable disease. Gets on you, and it usually lasts a long time. But I'm telling you, Jesus can cure it in a day if he takes a mind to. Hallelujah. I'm just simply saying, I want to talk about his reputation tonight. Hallelujah. He can shatter the shackles of any kind of a habit that binds people. He's delivered the drug addict. He's delivered the alcoholic. He's delivered anybody of all kinds of sin tonight. There's nothing impossible with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You don't have to go through a 12-step program. I'm not against 12-step programs, but I like the one step better. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And that is repentance. Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and the infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he can take it all away. Anybody want to witness tonight that he can do that? Anybody had your sins washed away in this house tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. They brought the blind man before the council, and they said, don't you know this man has demons, talking about Jesus? He said, well, I don't know about that. He said, but I can tell you one thing. I was blind, but now I see. That's all I can tell you. I don't know anything else, but I know that when he touched me, he gave me sight in my eyes. Amen. In the history of Israel, we don't know. We know that there was a provision for healing, but it never talks about a Jew being healed. Naaman was healed, but he was a Gentile. I don't know of one Jew that ever in the Old Testament was healed of leprosy after the law was given. Miriam was healed. That was before the law was given. I don't know of anybody, Brother Hart. But I know that when Jesus came, a leper came to him, saying, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus touched him and said, I will. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, immediately he was cleansed. Hallelujah. Amen. And he ran to the priest to show himself and offer the sacrifices. He went through the test. And let me tell you, friend, they had to say, you're clean. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm talking about his reputation tonight. Amen. He can heal disease. He can deliver from sin. He can take a life that's broken and put it together and make it beautiful. Amen. I know a young man that grew up, his mother was a prostitute, He basically grew up under bridges and just kind of surviving however he could, until one day somebody introduced him to the Lord. Hallelujah. Turned his life around. For the last, I suppose, 30 plus years, he's been preaching the gospel. He's one of the best preachers that I know. He's a powerful man of God. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter where you started. It matters where you end up. It's not where you came from, but it's where you're going that really matters, and Jesus can make a difference in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, if you're going to get a builder, you need somebody that's got a good character. You need somebody that's got a good reputation. You need somebody that's going to use the right kind of material. Amen. Let me tell you the kind of material he used. The Bible said that he was God manifest in flesh. Hallelujah. He built this church on a rock. Now, that New York City, or I should say Manhattan Island, is a rock that's about 12 miles long, about 2 miles wide. It's the most expensive estate on the planet, and it's a solid rock. And you go to, if you've been to Manhattan, it is covered with high rises. I mean, buildings that weigh God only knows how many pounds, but it's just solid. It's standing there just as solid today as it was the day they built them, because it's got a solid foundation. It's not going anywhere. Amen. It's strong. Hallelujah. I'm talking tonight about a rock, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen. You can believe it tonight. Whenever the world's on fire, he's going to stand. When everything else is shaken, he's going to stand. That's why he said, I'm going to build my church upon this rock. Now let me just make sure you understand this tonight. There are some people that think that he built a church on Peter. The word Peter does mean stone, but it means the little bitty stone. It means a little piece of a stone. It means a little rock. Amen. He didn't say, upon this Petros, I'm going to build my church. That's Peter. He said, but it's on this Petra I'm going to build my church. The Petra is the foundation stone. It's the massive stone. It's the mountain stone that's going to stand whenever else everything else is shaken. What was he talking about? He was talking about a name. Amen. Because he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. And then he said, upon that revelation that I am God manifest in flesh, that I am the Christ, upon that foundation I'm going to build my church. This church is not built on the Apostle Peter. It's built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Peter came. Peter's gone. We'll see him again in the glory world. But it's not built on him. It's built on Jesus. Hallelujah. Whenever they cast out demons in the Bible, they didn't do it in Peter's name. They did it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When they prayed for the sick, they didn't do it in Peter's name. They did it in Jesus' name. They didn't do it in any of the saints' name. They did it in Jesus' name. Because he is the rock that this church is built on. Amen. And there is no other foundation. Paul said, I have laid a foundation. I love what Peter said. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. Wherefore also didst contain in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Amen. Amen. Jesus is the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the first stone. It's the most important stone in the building because it's got to be just perfect. It's got to be just right. If the cornerstone is wrong, the wall's not going to be right. It's going to be crooked and it's going to be weak and it's not going to stand. And it's got to be a strong stone. It's got to be the perfect stone. And He is the cornerstone. And because of that, the church is going to be a straight church. It's going to be a strong church. It's the cornerstone that ties the building all together. Amen. You see, this church is built of many stones. It's got a whole lot of bricks in it. I don't know how many, but there's a lot of bricks in this building. Amen. But they make one building. There's a lot of people in this church. There's multiplied millions of people in this church. But there's just one church. There's just one church. There's just one. There's a lot of names, but there's one church. There's a lot of titles, but there's one church. Amen. There's just one church. And Jesus builds. Jesus puts us in the church. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, would you like to join the church? Can't do that. You can put your name on this roll, but you can't put it on that roll. He's got to put your name there. He's got to put your name there. But let me tell you how to get your name there. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. Receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let your name be put on the roll. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, rejoice not because the demons are subject. Rejoice not because people are healed. Rejoice rather because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Hallelujah. It's important tonight that our name is there. Amen. He's the cornerstone tonight. Amen. He's the one that's holding it all together. But the Bible says that we are a building fitly framed together. But say fitly framed. Amen. Praise God. You see, if these bricks were in a pile, it'd be easy to steal one. It'd be easy to steal a bunch. Be like the guy that went to buy bricks. He said, how much are the bricks? He said, well, he said, the more you buy, the cheaper they get. He said, well, just load them till they're free. He had the right idea, didn't he? That sounds like me. I'm a bargain hunter. But these bricks, you see, now once this brick's set in this wall, you're not going to steal one of them. You're not going to take one of these bricks out of here. They're solid. They're in there. If you've ever tried to unstack bricks that are put together with a mortar, you've got a job on your hands. I mean, that's a tough wall. It would be hard to knock that down. It's not going to go down easy. Amen. You see, that's the thing. There's no Lone Rangers in the church. There's no Marlboro Man in the church. Riding off independently above everybody else. I don't need anybody. I don't need no preacher. Don't need no church. Don't need nobody. You have set yourself up for failure and deception. God didn't build a church out of independent spirits. He built the church out of those that are fitly framed together. God places individuals in the church as He will. I said, as He will. I said, as He will. Amen. How God builds this church really is not up to me, and it's really not up to you. There are churches that care more about the steeple than they do about the people. And they build their churches. You got to be somebody to get on the roll there. Amen. But that's a man's church. That's not His church. He sets in the church whom He will, how He will, and where He will. That's why you got to be careful about hopping here and there. Amen. When He puts you in, you need to stay plugged in. Amen. That's right. Be very careful. Be very careful. Amen. Praise God. And so he sets us in the church as he wants us in the church, fitly framed together. You know, the Bible talks about being lively stones. A lively stone is one that can be shaped. There are some stones that are not lively, and whenever you try to shape them, they crumble, they fall apart. A lively brick, a good brick, you can take it and you can score it, and then you can tap it, and it'll break cleanly where you want it to go, and that you make it fit where you want to put it. Amen. You see, sometimes the Lord does a little whittling on us. He scrapes a little bit on your life. And he gives you a little love tap. Pow! Amen. And if you're a lively stone, you can handle that. But if you're not a lively stone, you'll crumble. And you'll fall to pieces. Amen. It's a sad thing to watch that happen in people's lives. Amen. But this is God's church. He's building the church today. He's building the church. He puts in the church whom he will. Hallelujah. I'm glad man doesn't choose God's church. Because they probably wouldn't have chose me. And they might not have chose you. Amen. But God chose you. He said, I want you in my church. Praise God. He took you out of your position and put you in his church. It's amazing how far God will go to reach people, and how God can work to reach them. I told a story some time ago about a man that called a preacher in a certain city, and he said, my daughter's in your city, and she's a backslider, and I'm praying for her. I got such a burden. Would you just go see her and invite her to church? And he was reluctant, but he said, all right. He said, I'll go. I know how that is, because... you know, it's sometimes it's kind of like the little boy came home. He was a Boy Scout. He came home and he was all tore up and clothes were torn, had bruises and scuffed all over, you know, looked like he'd been in a fight. And his mom said, son, what happened to you? He said, well, he said, I did my good deed for today. And she said, what did you do? He said, well, I helped a little old lady across the street. He said, well, what happened? He said, she didn't want to go. And inviting somebody to church that don't want to go is a good way to get in a scuffle. And so, but the guy said, I'll go. So he took a young man with him, and they went to this lady's house, and they knocked on the door, and the lady came to the door, and they introduced themselves from the church, and they said, we're here. Your father asked us if you'd come by and see you and invite you to church. He's been praying for you, and we'd sure love for you to come be a part of us. And she looked at him, and she said, no, I don't think so. She said, I'm just not ready now. I'm not ready to go. And the burden hit that young man that was with the pastor. And he just began to travail, and suddenly he burst out speaking in tongues, and it was just chilling the way that he spoke, and he just couldn't seemingly control himself, and the lady was looking at him, and she was shocked, and all of a sudden, next door, somebody come running out of their house, and they said, who are you people? What are you doing here? And they said, well, he said, well, we're pastors, and we come to visit this lady, invited to church, and she looked at the young man and that was speaking in the language, and she said, I am from such and such country, and said, this man is speaking in my language, and I didn't know there was anybody here that could speak that language. And he, of course, couldn't speak that language. Amen. But he was speaking of the wonderful works and the salvation of Jesus Christ. And this woman, tears running down her cheeks, she said, I want to meet this Jesus. I want to meet who we were talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. And so they took her, and by that time the pastor's daughter's crying, and she said, me too, me too. Isn't that amazing what God will do? Bring somebody from a country far away, send a preacher to a reluctant backslider's door, and speak to a young man that is just starting in ministry, and God moved on him and saved his soul. God will do a lot of things to get you in the church. Amen. Oh, God, help us tonight to have a great appreciation for this church that you put us in. Help us to understand this is not a church that we're building by ourselves, but this is a church that you are building. Oh, we got to be careful not to get in his way. We got to be careful not to get in his way. God takes some strange things to build his church. Amen. He'll reach way down, folks. There was a helpless alcoholic. He was so desperate. He was so far gone. He went to his little daughter died. He went to the funeral. And while nobody was watching, he opened the casket and stole the shoes off of her feet and sold them to get one more drink. That's about as low as you can go, folks. But you know what God did? He reached down and saved that man. He took away the alcohol out of his life. He put his spirit into his life. He made him a songwriter and a poet and a great author of books. Amen. God saves marvelously. God saves wonderfully. Amen. So don't you judge somebody when they come into the church. Amen. And don't get too quick. Don't get too quick. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes we like to judge folks too harshly, too quickly. Amen. Wouldn't it be foolish, you mothers that carried babies? you didn't say, no, you got to stay in there, Junior, until you learn to talk and behave yourself. Huh? No, you was glad to get rid of him. You were thrilled the day he finally got into this world. Amen. But it took him a little while to grow up. It took some patience. It took some instruction. He did some things wrong. He didn't ever do everything just right. Why in the world is it sometimes that saints of God, as soon as people are born, they expect them to be grown? They expect them to be perfect from that day. I mean, you got to line up, buddy, and you got to do everything right. You got to dress right, and you got to talk right, and you got to act right, and you got to do everything just right. You can't ever make a mistake. That's the most foolish thing I've ever heard in my life. Hey, let folks get born and give them a little time to grow. Give them some time to mature. Don't jump on them. Leave them alone. Well, they've been in the church 3 years by now. They ought to know better. Well, maybe they don't. Leave them alone. Amen. But they get on my nerves. Good. It'll help your maturity. Amen. It'll help your patience. It'll help you pray. It'll help you have compassion. Amen. Hey, let's give folks a chance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give folks a chance. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You know, we got to be careful, folks, about that. You let the Lord bring and put in the church who he wants in the church. Amen. I was in a church one time, and God gave a revival. Man, we had folks coming. People getting the Holy Ghost nearly every week. Things were growing. Things were moving. Things were going great. And somebody asked me one service, they said, Brother Grissom, said, when am I going to get some white people in the church? I said, well, it's God's church. He's sending the people. He's sending the Holy Ghost. He's forgiven their sins. It's his church. He's put them in the church. Amen. Praise God. Hey, you just go ahead and let God save who he will. Amen. Brothers and sisters, hallelujah. Amen. Let's just let God save who he will. And when they get here, let's make them welcome. Let's make them welcome. Praise God. Amen. And if they get your seat, don't get mad. Find another seat. Boy, I'm meddling, aren't I? This is awful. But God's building the church, folks. It's his church. It's His church. And if it's not His church, I don't want to be a part of it. I want to be in the church He's building. I said, I want to be in the church He's building. And don't you think He can't build it without you. Well, I've been in this thing a long time, brother. I don't know if it would last without me. But one of these days it will. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The only body that's got job secured around here is the pastor. And mine's only secure until the Lord tells me to go, or you do. Amen. That's all the security I've got, and that's all the security that you've got. Amen. But folks, let me just say tonight, amen, we got to make room for folks to come in. When we're praying for revival, that's what we're saying, Lord. We're willing to lengthen our stakes here. We're willing to move out our walls here. We're willing to make the changes that are necessary. You see, we can't live in the past and say, oh, this is not the way it used to be. It never will be again. Amen. You see, once waters pass, friend, it'll not be the same water ever again. There'll be some more water, but it won't be the same water. It won't be the same stream. It won't be the same river. Once it's passed by, it's going to be different, but it's still a river, and it's still water, and it's still the same thing, but it's just going to be different. Now, some of you have had newborn babies in your house. Did it make a difference? Whoa. You talk about a difference. Amen. Before, you know, it was all about me. Amen. And fixing stuff up and buying things and new clothes and all about me and all about my beautiful house and all about me, me, me. But when you have a little baby, it's not about you anymore. You learn real quick it's about him or about her. Amen. It's not about whether you get your beauty rest. You're just doing good if you get any rest. Amen. God did not make them with a volume button. You cannot turn them down, and you cannot turn them off. Amen. They are very inconsiderate. They don't care about you. Amen. Praise God. They don't know any better. You have to teach them. And they are also teaching you. Amen. Praise God. One of these days, you see, if you have the title mother or you have the title father, believe me, you're going to earn it. It is not honorary. Praise God. Amen. Hey, He's building a church here tonight. It's His church. Amen. And He is building the church. He is building the church. I love the story of the little lady that was on tour in Europe. She went into Westminster Abbey and saw the beautiful structure. And they were telling her the story how that the church dated all the way back to 1616 A.D. They were telling the story of all of the great statesmen and kings and poets and great people that were buried in that old, beautiful sanctuary. And finally, the guide, after he'd talked about all the greatness of the abbey, he asked, he said, are there any questions? And that sweet little old lady lifted up her hand. And she said, what I want to know, sir, has anybody been saved here lately? Has anybody been saved here lately? You see, if it's a church, it's not about the stones, and it's not about the arches, and it's not about the pulpit, and it's not about the history, and it's not about the statesmen and the kings. It's all about, has anybody been saved here lately? That's what He cares about. And that's what we've got to care about. Has anybody been saved here lately? Amen. Praise God. Not since Sunday night that I know of. Hallelujah. Amen. But hey, folks, let's don't lose our focus. Let's don't lose our focus. Guard against eye-grown-onus eyeballitis. That's ingrown eyeballs, in case you don't know what that is. That's a serious disease. Amen. When all you can see is inside. Looking at your brothers and sisters. Looking at other people. Judging other people. Amen. Allowing other people. Hey, somebody said, well, you know, they made me mad. Then you got to, you allowed them to. Amen. I said you allowed them to. Amen. Praise God. You get your eyes off yourself. You get your eyes on Jesus Christ. I promise it will transform your life. And it will transform your life. Amen. The song, I wish I'd known the person that wrote it, said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's what it's all about tonight. Let's stand together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. If we'll get our eyes off of one another, and hear this, if we'll get our eyes off of ourselves. Hello? If we'll get our eyes off of ourselves. If we'll get our eyes off of ourselves. Amen. And get our eyes on Jesus Christ. What a difference it'll make in our life. I read a touching story the other day about an orphanage. There was a little girl in the orphanage that fell very ill. And she had to have a blood transfusion. And so they asked around and did some tests, find out who had the right kind of blood. And there was a little boy in the orphanage that had exactly what they needed. And so he said, yeah, I'll give the blood. So they took him to the hospital, and he said, I'll be glad to give it for my little friend. So they took him to the hospital, and they started hooking him up, and he was silent. He didn't say a word for a long time. He just laid there. He's very quiet, seemed troubled. And as they were ready to insert in the needle, he looked up at him, and he said, will it hurt to die? And they said, what do you mean? He said, I don't mind giving blood. I don't mind dying if it'll help my little friend, but will it hurt when I die? And they said, son, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. You're just giving blood, but you won't die. But you see, he was willing to. He had the knot in his mind. He was literally laying down his life so somebody else could live. I think I read in a book somewhere that said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. If he laid down his life for us, he said, lay down your life for the brethren. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's get our eyes on Jesus tonight. It makes it so much easier when you see him. It makes it so much better when you see him. When you get your eyes off of